Ready to be the unicorn of your industry, stand out, attract the clients that really want to work with you while having the impact and creating the freedom? You are in the right place. This podcast is for you. And in this specific episode, I have Kayla as a guest who is a 6'2 sacral generator and is taking us along her entrepreneurial journey with the highs and the lows and is very honest about what can happen when you're starting to align with your design. Let's dive right in. Welcome to the podcast, Kayla. I'm so excited to have you. Can you take us all through the journey of who you are, where you are, and what you do?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really excited for this conversation today. So just so everyone knows, I'm Kayla. I'm a 6'2 sacral generator and spiritual mindset coach that works with entrepreneurs on embodying their human design and gene keys in business. So this is something that I'm extremely passionate about. And what got me here was, it was actually in 2014 that I discovered coaching, and it wasn't in the online space. It was very much through the personal development work that I was doing. And so I literally sat on that for probably 5 years. I got a teaching degree. I went and I taught in China for a year. I came back to Toronto, started a personal training business. And through the personal training business and doing personal development courses, I grew very passionate for mindset coaching. And so in 2019, I went online and I started a mindset coaching business. And that's when I kind of got sucked into this vortex of online coaching. And I was like, oh, wow. And it was kind of big and shiny. And I don't have the story of someone that scaled quickly. That's just not my truth. And there's nothing wrong with scaling quickly. But I think my challenges and the struggles that I went through really allow me to connect more with the people that I work with. And then it was a couple years into that, in around 2020 is the first time I heard about human design. And then 2021 is when I went into like a full-blown program. I got deep into human design and the gene keys, and I pivoted my business and started working with entrepreneurs on embodiment of how they are showing up in their business. So that's kind of my long story, condensed version of how I got to where I am. But I love human design. I love gene keys. I speak heavily about the gene keys now in business. And I'm really excited to collaborate with you in this conversation to really see like what comes up, because it's going to be so cool to share our experiences. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, very cool. Like when you were saying, I went into teaching and then taught abroad. That's something that's true for me too. Like my background is I have a bachelor in education. I taught a little bit everywhere. So that's really cool to see that we have that aligned and that you started with having that mindset business and coaching and go from there and discovering human design. It's very similar to how I've moved through the world as well, I would say. When you're talking about gene keys, that's what triggers me, because for me, that's something I know what it is. I've heard about it. Obviously, I've dabbled into it, but it's not my focus or something that I'm super passionate and deep into. But I would love to know from you, why gene keys?
Yes. Oh, I love it. I always get so excited. My circle's lit when people are like, Kayla, tell me about the gene keys. I'm like, yes, okay. So the gene keys, I mean, obviously this, your audience is familiar with human design at this point. And Richard Rudd is the founder of the gene keys. I always want to acknowledge the source. And Richard used to work with Ra, who is the founder of human design. And so basically the gene keys, if you look at the 64 gates in human design in all the centers, we represent those through the 64 hexagram in the I Ching system, which is part of the Chinese divination text. The gene keys are the 64 gates, but they're organized into what we call three sequences that create the golden path. And each of those sequences has their own theme. So the first sequence is the activation sequence, and then we go into the Venus sequence and then the Pearl sequence. So the activation sequence is actually the four planets that we find in our incarnation cross. So we have the sun and the earth and the unconscious sun and earth. And then we go into the Venus sequence, which will have like the Mars planets, the Venus, moon. And then we go into the Pearl sequence, which has like Mars and Jupiter and the sun again, and another one as well. So these sequences each have their own theme. The activation sequence is very much about getting grounded in your 3D reality. And through that, there's pathways that connect the sphere. So when you look up your gene keys, you can do this on the Gene Keys website, or if you're somebody who's on Genetic Matrix, you can just use the drop-down menu to go to the gene keys, and you're going to see all these little spheres, and you're going to see these arrows. So just so you know, The activation is usually in green, the Venus is in red, and then the pearl is in blue. So the activation sequence is like getting grounded in your 3D reality. So I really love to talk about this with entrepreneurs in terms of like looking at your energetic frequencies to get grounded in your business. Like, what is your core stability of how you're designed to show up in your business? What is your purpose? Because it's part of your incarnation cross. And then we go into the Venus sequence, and it's like, what is your inner child wounding? Unconsciously, consciously, that is blocking you from fully opening up your heart and connecting with people in relationships. And this can show up with how you connect with your audience, with your clients, with your team. And so there's a lot of possibility there for once we get grounded to open up our hearts and really experience that unconditional love, go deeper into contemplation of our wounding. And then we go into the pearl sequence, which is really about prosperity. And I feel like the pearl sequence, ironically, like people think prosperity, money, but it's actually just what are you here to do and be of service with? What is it like? What is your version of prosperity? What is simplicity? What is your purpose of making an impact with people? And how is that going to unlock your version of prosperity in all aspects of your life, not just money? So that's kind of a quick overview. And this is how I talked a little bit lightly how I tied into entrepreneurship. But the reason why I love the Gene Keys and I love human design is because the Gene Keys is more fluid. It's more nuanced. And so we still have the line expressions like in human design. They're a little bit different. They're actually more expansive. And then, with human design, I love to bring that in. And it's like, okay, you can embody your design. Like, you have your strategy and your authority, but then you can look at your journey of illumination through life by contemplating the gene keys. So I love bringing the two systems together.
Yeah, I love how you use it and how you actually make it very easy for me to understand how you would do this with an entrepreneur and basically take them on a journey through their gene key sequence. When you were talking about prosperity, I'm very curious what prosperity means to you because that's like a big word and a lot of people have different meanings for that. So, what's your understanding of prosperity?
Yes, I think for me, when I first found the Gene Keys, I had actually just quit my 9 to 5 and gone full time in my business. And it was like a huge risk that I took because I had money aside that was supposed to pay for my taxes the next year. And I was like, I'm just going to go all in. I'm just going to do the things and I'm going to, manifest like financial stability and all of this. And at the same time, I had simultaneously signed up through the Gene Keys website to do the Pearl Sequence retreat, which is like a 3-month retreat where you go through and you contemplate your Pearl Sequence. And so for me, I was like, I want to redefine my relationship to money. And it was ironically through contemplating the Pearl Sequence and really sitting with what does prosperity mean to me that my attachment and my relationship to money specifically started to shift. And what that means is that I felt a lot more freedom in terms of not needing to hit certain monetary goals. And that doesn't mean that I don't desire money or that I have big goals in my life, but it just wasn't the forefront. I started to be more curious on contemplating, well, how can I actually be of service? Like, what is it? Like, how can I show up in my business? What kind of offers and opportunities that I can create, paid and unpaid, that are going to be accessible to people? Like, how many people can I impact? Like, it really became about collaboration. And a lot of my restraint and feelings and heaviness around money started to shift. And it gave me just room to breathe and notice that prosperity is in every moment. It's in every chapter of entrepreneurship. It's in the conversations we have with people. It's in a good night's sleep. It's in a warm cup of chai as a latte. Like there's so many prosperous moments that are beyond money. And I think that that's really what regrounded me into the full experience of being human. So that's really what shifted for me. It's like, it's not just about money for me anymore. It's like, it's so much bigger than that. And so I feel like it created a more expansive experience for me.
Yeah. And I love how you explaining this now compared to what you said in the beginning. Like I hadn't have that scaling rapidly online and having like this massive growth in like a short period of time. Is that something that you see as like a gimmick online or something that you work with your clients? Because one of the things that I read about you is that you want to break through certain bullshit things that are being taught online and that people are meant to believe. And if you do this, then you'll be successful. Is that one of those, or and what are the other frustrations you want to break in the online coaching world?
Yes, I think for me, when I first came online, like I mentioned that I started my experience with coaching in person. And so it really was about the art of coaching and like actually connecting with people. And when I came online, I really started to see that, there was this possibility of making a lot of money. And some people had done that really quickly and it really worked well for them, but it didn't work well for me. But the thing is, not a lot of people were being open about, okay, well, that's not my story. So then I thought for a long time that there was like something wrong with me and that I was not good enough. Like I had so much to deal with. And like, sure, it could be strategy. Yes, it could be mindset, but it was very heavy. And so when I started sharing my story, I started to notice, oh, there's actually a lot of other entrepreneurs who share similar struggles. And it's like, okay, I started to look at how can this become sustainable. And so it was really through using human design as like a nervous system regulation tool and looking at, well, how are you actually designed to show up? Like, how can we dismantle the shame around the fact that you still work a 9 to 5 or that you want to pick up contract work to support you when you have your business? Because there's nothing wrong with that. You're actually supporting your vision, even though there's so much shame that some people have around, having extra work with their business. And so I think my life's work is 36. So the shadow of turbulence is so real for me. And I naturally have so much compassion for people. And obviously in my earth, I have the sixth line and or the sixth gate. And it's like that is about conflict and being diplomatic and bringing peace. So I'm constantly in this conversation with people like, okay, this is my gifts and wisdom to share with you, but like, what are yours? How are you going to find stability in yourself no matter what your challenges look like? Like, how can you normalize your experience? It might take you a bit longer, but like, what if you actually grow a sustainable business where you feel safe and you feel secure and you still get to make an impact because you're not desperately trying to launch or desperately trying to get people to sign up for your offers because you need to pay your bills? Like, you deserve to have your needs met. And so it's just like shifting the language and being more inclusive because I was just getting really distracted by like quickly scaling and I had this in my head, oh, once I hit 10K, then it's all good. But that hasn't been my experience. So I've just been really transparent with people and it's been really supportive. So that's how I've sort of navigated that and circled it back to people and really having them like find that stability like within themselves instead of external sort of instant gratification experiences.
And that's something that I truly align with as well. And a lot of people don't show that part of themselves or that struggle online. Do you notice that you attract people who gravitate to that message that you're sending, especially with your sixth line and your 36th line, that people are in conflict with? I have this certain outside look, but on the inside, this is how I feel.
Yes, I have so many friends all over the world that are entrepreneurs. They range from new business owners to like seven figure plus people. And I still see the same vulnerabilities in all levels. I see seven figure business owners that have $0 launches who then have to like let go of three quarters of their team because financially they can't pay them, And then I've seen like new business owners have like massive breakthroughs. Like I've seen the full spectrum. And whenever every form of like every level come through and they share their experience, they're like, oh yeah, I don't have it all figured out. Like this is what I've struggled with. These are also the big wins that I've had. It just shifts the paradigm in the industry with entrepreneurship. And it literally lifts the weight off of people to be like, oh my God, okay, so even if I have a multiple six-figure, seven-figure business, I'm still gonna have challenges. It's not this magic pill that's gonna fix everything. Like, so then it all comes back to sustainability. What is actually gonna be sustainable through all of the ebbs and flows? And how can you give yourself the compassion to go through all of the ebbs and flows and normalize that and not shame ourselves for it? So I see these levels of conversation everywhere, but I'm now with my friends who have more established businesses and like, you need to share your story. Like, give up the fear of looking bad or that you might disappoint people because you had a $0 launch and all these people are looking up to you. Like, you give that up and you're going to make such a legacy impact by speaking your truth because it's going to give people so much more permission to take a risk and trust themselves and be like, oh my God, I'm not a failure if I have a $0 launch or something doesn't work out.
No, that's definitely something I really wish that a lot of more like people who have a platform and everyone has a platform to share about, because it's something actually I today had a call with two of my friends, clients. It's a mix. It happens when you start working with each other. And I was like very honest and open with the launch that I'm doing. Like, this is happening. This is how I feel. Please, what are my blind spots? What am I not seeing? What is not working? Because in my head, I get very stuck on certain things. And there were very honest reflecting things to me, both projectors. There was like a little projector group, the three of us, and I felt so seen and validated and also like supported by sharing that vulnerable side of myself and really being like, okay, it might look from the outside that everything is going really well, but behind the scenes, this is how I'm feeling. So that's something that they also encourage me, like share that this is something new that you're doing and that it's scary and that it is bringing up things for you. So I really wish if you're listening to this and you're going through something, please share that because it's something that everyone can relate to on every level. If something is the ebb and flow is happening in your life, in your business, what are certain tools of things that help you to navigate that?
Yes, I love this question. I feel like right now I'm in an ebb, if I'm being completely honest. I had a great month in December, and then it kind of came into January and February of 2023, and it's just been quieter. And so I'm noticing the old conversations coming up, like, oh, Kayla, you haven't figured out sustainability yet. Like, how are you going to pay for this? Like, you still have debt. Like, all of these judgmental things come up for me. And I feel like one of the biggest things that I work on is coming back to my sacral authority, coming back to that and being like, okay, what in this moment would actually bring me joy? Like, even if it's just doing something on Canva, even if it doesn't seem productive or it's, quote, not going to make me money in that moment, it's like, what can I actually do that's going to bring me joy so that I can nourish myself while I navigate through this ebb? Because I think one of the things that we forget as humans is that we still are in this capitalist mindset of like, well, if I do more work, then I'll produce more results. But that doesn't work in entrepreneurship, especially when we're offering services, because you can't force people to buy. So it's like, it's really surrendering to that divine intervention of like, okay, like, trust the timing, Kayla. What can you actually control? What can you actually do to regulate your nervous system? And specifically with that, it's like, okay, maybe it's really making sure that I go to bed at a good time so I'm rested. I meditate and I journal in the morning instead of going to do a hard CrossFit workout one day where I feel like I'm going to cry. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go walk for an hour. So it's constantly adapting to the level of capacity that I have mentally, emotionally, and physically, like on a day-to-day basis, but still keeping hold of my vision and my desires and my end goal and my business or whatever it is that I'm working on and moving towards that, even if it feels like I'm like fucking crawling, like it's just constantly never giving up, but then the speed might change. And I feel like some people go pedal to the metal and then they literally burn themselves out, and then it's harder to get that momentum again. So that's kind of how I play with that. And it's funny because I have the 515 channel. That is the only conscious channel that I have. So it's like, balancing the extremes, finding a rhythm, but I really do have a gift with this, but it's like the only conscious channel that I have. So it's like, that's very obvious for me in my life.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about your 515 and how that's showing up in your life because I know that's something when I see it with someone, I'm like, I'm so sorry, I feel for you. And like, yeah.
No, I actually love it. I think it's because I obviously, like, I'm aware of human design. Like, I understand being a sacral generator. Like, I only have my G center and my sacral defined. Everything else is open and undefined. And so I really noticed, like, okay, I need to find what lights me up and have it be related to my vision, where I'm going, my identity, and then a rhythm will come with that. But before I had the awareness of human design, it'd be like I would go to the extremes without having awareness, even though it was a conscious channel. But because now I can use my sacral as like the gas pedal, essentially.
And it's very interesting because that's a question I often get, and especially with clients, the sacral authority and having that gas on and off basically, and having it the momentum that you were sharing. What I advise clients with a sacral authority is don't go out of the momentum. Keep a little bit of momentum going. Don't completely step out of it. Is that something that you experience as well that helps you, like not taking a 1 month break out of your business, but doing little things in order to keep feeling if this is a yes or a no.
Yeah, I think it's very actually. I was having this conversation with somebody a couple of months ago around the subtle yes and no's versus the loud ones. And so it's interesting because it probably viscerally feels easier when something is a like a screaming like fuck yes and fuck no, right? But then it's the subtle ones. It's the, you know, when you're making breakfast, do you want to have fried eggs or scrambled eggs, right? And it's like very, you know, because there's not an extreme there. So it's like it's playing, what I notice is playing with the little decisions and then checking back in, like, how did I viscerally respond to that? And I feel like those are little things that we can take on a daily basis when we're, say, in a generator's plateau or we're burnt out. But there's some days where I'm literally so exhausted. I'm like, I'm so done. Like work is done 2, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And I'm like, I need to be horizontal watching Netflix and I'm gonna binge Netflix all weekend. Like those moments do happen. But I find if I keep it a priority to have some kind of project going that has me lit up, it's always gonna pull me back in. So it's just those little moments in a daily basis make a huge difference because those are the things that compound over time. It's not just like massive action taking, and massive action taking isn't sustainable for any design. Even if you have all four motor centers, like it's not sustainable.
Yeah. What makes it for you, like sustainability is a word that I keep hearing from you. What makes a business sustainable for you versus a non-sustainable business or entrepreneur?
Yeah, I feel like mentally, emotionally, and physically, there isn't going to be so much of a fluctuation. So, for example, in last year was not sustainable for me in the sense that I literally had months that ranged from like $1,600 to like 15 grand. Like it was just insane. And so that really impacted me emotionally because I would go from like absolute scarcity of like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? Do I need to get a 9 to 5? Like what, how am I going to leverage my resources? To then coming up to like, you know, multiple, like, four figures and then five figures. And it's like, oh, I can just pay off my debt in one shot. Like, this is amazing. But there wasn't this middle ground. And so it was very exhausting. And so for me, it's like sustainability comes down to how nourished am I feeling? And am I consistently feeling nourished? And then it's like, well, what can I control in the situation of what I'm doing, the kinds of conversations I'm having with myself, the kind of support that I'm getting, whether it's from a team or a spouse or friends or like fellow entrepreneurs, like it's really looking at like where am I plugged in and what is actually going to support me when I'm in the ebbs and flows. And then it's really looking at, you know, when we're experimenting in business, like being committed to the full process. So this is kind of another thought tangent for me, but it's like when I go to launch something, I create an offer, whatever it is, even if it's not sticking, I will go all the way until the end. Like I never close the doors early because I'm like, okay, fine, this isn't working. I need to know why it's not working. So we're going to go the whole way to gather information. So I feel like that too is like that commitment and that devotion to the process, even when it's a complete shit show or not making sense, because there's always something to learn to bring back. Because then I'm like, okay, next time I'm going to do this, this, and this. Next time I'm not going to do this, this, and this. This is how I'm going to create more equilibrium. So it's like these are kind of the different ways that I look at like what's actually sustainable, but it's through experimenting in business and like in life and so on.
Yeah, and it's very funny to hear you say like once I'm committed, I will do the whole thing. It's very generator of you to be like once my energy has said yes, I will see it through. Even if I'm not really feeling lit up by it, I will see it through because I committed to launching this, promoting this, having people inside of this container. And then I heard you saying about that experimenting, trying new things. As a 6'2", you obviously also had the tree line up until your 30s. So we're from the same age, or we are from the same year. How has been that transition from you for having that tree line in the beginning and now going on the roof with your 6th line?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I'm 32. In 2019 is like when I started to have the Saturn return. And 2019 is literally when I started my business. So that first phase of my life, I had worked literally 20 different jobs. Like in the span of 4 years, I went from like a teaching degree to personal training to starting a business, like three massive career shifts. And so it was a lot of experimenting. It was a lot of frustration because I wasn't doing what it is I wanted to do. And I knew for literally 5 years before I started my business that I wanted to get into coaching, but I kept procrastinating. And so when I came onto the roof and I found my business, even though I've been through massive ebbs and flows, it's like I'm so committed to it. And it's like, this is my vision. Like it's a very six line, like I'm on the roof. I see this long-term vision. And that's part of the six line. And this is why I love the Gene Keys, because the way that the Gene Keys talks about the six line in human design is like, hey, the teacher, the visionary, like those are kind of the main words. But other flavors in the shadow side of the six line can be like feeling alienated, isolated, having judgment, right? Not feeling connected, like lacking patience to believe or trust in one's vision, like needing to see things and shift things and have them be shared differently, right? So these are all experiences that I'm having as a six line from a human design lens and from a Gene Keys lens of being on the roof with my business and just like seeing the things that aren't working. I also have power view. So it's like I see the dynamics of like, this works, that doesn't. And my fear motivation is like, okay, what do we actually need? So when you hear me talk about sustainability, that's coming from my fear motivation of like, what is it that we don't know? What is it that we need to know in order to have this be sustainable? So it's been, there's a six line, but then there's all these other aspects of the variables and my design that play into it as well.
Yeah, but you can definitely see then a difference between 0 to 30 and then now 30 to 33. How does it feel to go on the roof for you?
It's funny, as soon as I thought about that, it feels like home. It kind of feels like I've arrived, like, okay, like this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where what I'm supposed to be doing. Even if at times I feel like I'm lost or confused and I'm unsure, like this is what I'm meant to be doing for the rest of my life. Like I love my business. I love human design. I love Gene Keys. I love having conversations like this, like collaborating with others. Like I really love this work. And so it feels like a sense of relief, even though at times I feel like I'm sitting in uncertainty. I also have a completely open ajna, so it's like, what is certain?
Yeah,
So that's
exactly.
something that
What
comes
is
up for me
life?
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally.
Maybe we can go a bit into, because I know that that's a question I get often. As a generator running your business in coaching, what are things you're very lit up by that drive you that are like super well working for you? And what are points of frustration as a generator entrepreneur?
Yes, I think for me, I've been blessed. Last year, I hired a VA who is incredibly amazing at doing the back end stuff. And when I say back end, I mean like I use a Kajabi platform. We transferred my whole website to Kajabi, creating products and automation emails and connecting Stripe, like all of these sort of things that I don't want to figure out. I literally have one line in my chart, and that's the fear of motivation. There's no one line. So like when it comes to investigating, I'm like, no, like it's not there for me. So I love having that support. And I think for me, I love being creative. Like I've created, obviously, I have a podcast channel that has like over 300 episodes. Like I have so much content on Instagram. I have so many freebies. Like I love creating things on Canva. And it's just, even my website, when I rebranded it, I figured out how to do the aesthetic side of it because I enjoyed that. And so it's the nitty-gritty structural back end things that I love to hand off because it's just not my forte. I know I could figure it out, but that part is what brings me frustration. And I think the other thing too is it can be frustrating when I feel lit up by something and I'm sharing something and I feel like I'm not getting engagement. And I think it's also just a wounding of having a completely open throat center and around like, am I not being heard? Like, do I need to be louder? Like, why aren't you listening? So this can be some of the shadow aspects that come up for me. But I think it's, again, it's just following that strategy and authority. I think one of the other things that's really helped me when I talk to people about being a sacral being, it's about not just waiting to respond, but responding to your environment. So one of the biggest things that actually supported me and not being so frustrated in my business was a lot of times I was responding to my ideas. So I have an undefined head, open ajna, and it's like, oh, this is a great idea. And then I'd go and create this whole thing. And then I'd go and share it and it'd be crickets because I wasn't co-creating with my environment. I wasn't checking in with my audience to be like, would you be interested in this? And if I get a good response, then I'm like, okay, yes, I can put my energy into this. So I started being more intentional with co-creating with my people and checking in. If I have an idea, it's like, okay, is this my idea? Like, it's just divinely downloaded and I haven't actually co-created or checked in with, my people. But also sometimes what can happen is that can be a sign to wait, where this idea comes in. Like for example, I started to think about hypnosis and gene keys. This had been something that I was thinking about. I'm like, oh, I should do a program. I'm like, where did this come from? No one said anything yet. One of my friends is a master hypnotherapist. She's like, hey, I want to learn about the gene keys and like gene keys and hypnosis. And I was like, okay, there it is. That's the thing for me to respond to. And so then I started sharing more about it and then it started gaining traction. And so it's like, okay, now I'm co-creating. So it's like these ideas can come, but then I always wait for a confirmation from the environment. And this has been a huge aspect of not falling into frustration as a cycle generator in business.
Yeah, and when you talk about co-creation, do you like put it on stories? Do you send out an email? Like, how do you get that something in your environment for you to respond to?
Yes, I will. Yeah, share on stories, post on Instagram, emails, market research is a really big thing. I think it's super helpful, like sending that out and getting feedback and like looking and reading between the lines of like what people want and speaking to that. And even just having conversations with fellow entrepreneurs and just like having conversations with clients and being like, okay, like really sussing out how people are seeing the vision themselves. And so that's what I find is part of the co-creative process. Whereas earlier on in my business, I'd be like, before I really had an awareness of human design, I'd be like, oh, this is such a great idea. And then I'd go and create this whole thing all by myself and then just show up in online and be like, hey, look at this. And then it was just like crickets and it was not collaborative. So I find that makes a huge difference as a sacral being.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I see this with a lot of people online when they're like coming from an idea only, or when it's been like touched by other people. And by touched, I mean like some people have been like, oh, that would be awesome. Do you do this, or will it include that? And then it starts to form from that original idea into morph into something different, or like a different aspect, or a little bit bigger or smaller, or whatever that they need. What is something that you've done recently or in your business that you're like super excited about, and that you're like, whoa, everyone should hear about this. This is amazing.
Yes. So in October, I started to dive deeper into the gene keys. And then I started to realize, like I shared earlier in our conversation, like, oh, I can see how this can be a tool in business. Like, why isn't anyone talking about this? And so then I started to share about it, and people were really curious. And they're like, oh my God, I love this. I never thought about this. And I was like, okay, there it is. So I created the Gene Keys business guide, where I will, it's a customized PDF with a 64 Gene Key audio library recorded by myself from an entrepreneurial lens on how to contemplate and infuse your Gene Keys into business. So I created this. It took me like, it was so much content.
I
I was
was going
like,
to
thank God
say.
I'm a, thank God I'm a generator. I was like, holy crap. So I created this over 2 months in the fall, and I like revealed this. Like I talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, like just to keep my audience in. Formed and I revealed this in December, and it was like my most successful, reveal. And I guess you could say launch to date. And it was because I had this idea, I had it validated by my audience who were curious. I was sharing about it in my feed, talking about the gene keys and business. And of course, then when I went to share this offer, it then was well received, and people were like, oh my God, this is so helpful. And it was just also getting feedback around being more inclusive. Like it's visual, there's audios, transcripts, because I really want to make sure that it's going to support as many people as possible. So making sure that it's accessible and inclusive in that sense. So it's like, again, with the co-creative process, somebody who doesn't speak English as a first language asked me, are you going to have transcripts for the audio?
It helps.
Only one, literally only one person asked me, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And that's 64 transcripts. So it was a lot of work for my VA and myself, but it was worth it. So that was a prime example of something that is now like my signature offer that I love sharing with entrepreneurs, because it's like a tool for life. You don't have to read through it once. It's like designed to support people on their entire journey, which I feel like is such a six line thing to do as well.
Yeah, exactly. I always want to create offers that takes them for like a really long time to go through and that they can always come back to. And it's like, I'm a part of your journey, and drives me crazy too, because I tend to come up with the most elaborate things ever. And then
Yes.
other people are like, can you make this smaller? Or can you just take one piece out of it? And I'm like, no, I can't. I just can't.
I can totally relate to that. I feel like it's a 6-2 thing. It's like, oh, I just want you to be independent. Like, here's everything that I know from my 2 line, and I'm gonna give you everything. And people are like, how do you know so much? Like, it's just.
Exactly. Here's basically my whole life in just a few videos. Have fun, kind of that way. You also shared about a little bit earlier in our conversation about having a completely open throat center and how that shows up in your communication and your marketing. How does it show up? Like, I'm very curious because I have a defined throat. So for me, that's not really something I'm very familiar with, but I know a lot of people have this undefined. And with marketing, there can be such a pressure on being consistent and all of those kind of things that people throw around on the internet.
Yes, I think it's really interesting for me because I know they say that it takes 7 years to decondition, but I really feel like my voice is deconditioned in the sense like I speak very transparently, I speak very honestly, like I'm just self-expressed. And I think that it comes back to the defined spaces in our human design chart. So obviously, even if you're a reflector, like looking at how you can leverage your defined gates, your channels, and so on, right? And it's like for me, whenever I share things, I always come back to that sacral and G center, and I'm like, does this feel like me? Does this actually light me up to share? And also just being in the correct environment. Like, of course, with my defined G center, my G center is very activated. And so for me, it's like I can talk about business. Like I can come onto a podcast, have a conversation with somebody that I don't know very well, share my life story, have no problem, be super real and authentic. But let's say if I go into a family gathering and they don't know what human design is, and they're like, Kayla, like, what do you do in your business? Like, what's human design? Like, how do you know that it works? Then I can feel myself because I'm not in the correct environment that is harder for me to share. And so that's something I find very interesting because I think that some people feel like because they have an undefined G center, that obviously, or an open G center, it's like even more pronounced about being in the correct environment. But it's also important for people who have that defined G center. So I'm leveraging the defined spaces in my chart to give me a voice. And even just noticing when I get frustrated, let's say I'm sharing about something that's not being received by my audience, it's like, well, Kayla, are you actually doing what lights you up, or do you have an agenda behind this? Right? And it's like, can you trust that what you have to say has the potency? You don't need to say it 14 times or to be obnoxious and loud everywhere so that people hear you. So it's really coming back to having awareness, but then also just constantly prioritizing and surrendering, like what is actually going to bring me joy to share. And even just being, again, when I talk about environment, being with people who are going to invite me to share and want to speak, because that's really important too, because then I'm just going to speak the truth. Like it's going to just be said, and that's it. So I think that it comes down to, like, what I'm really hearing myself say is that it comes down to building self-trust and trusting our voice, whether you're undefined or opened in that space, and that how you share and how you express yourself is going to be fluid. But also, when you're really tapped into yourself, like how you express yourself will come very naturally. So that's what I've noticed with having an open throat.
Yeah. Do you sometimes notice that you want to say things, but you're not asked to reply on something or respond to something? And then how do you handle that? Because that's something I recently saw happening with a client.
Yes. So this is kind of a parallel to the question you're asking, but this is actually a shadow thing that I noticed with the throat center that's kind of a gift, but it's also not, is I've noticed when someone has a defined throat or if someone is withholding communication, I can literally feel it. Like it becomes very difficult to communicate with that person. And it's like, I want them to share. And it's like, I'm asking them, like, what's on your mind? Like, what are you not sharing? Like, can you just be transparent? Like, I want this leadership energy, especially because you've got those gates coming up, highly leadership based from the G center to the throat. It's like, just be honest, right? And I find when people are withholding communication, because I reflect that, I find it harder to express myself. And so I think what you were asking was more like if seeing something, but like wanting to say something, but I really trust myself. Like I come back to like, okay, was I invited to share? Because even though the like my open throat is completely undefined, those are all projected channels, right? And so it's like there is always going to be this energy of like needing to be invited to share, and that's always going to feel like the most aligned. But I think for me, it is that restraint. But I also have the 52 activated in my root center, which is like that gift of restraint, right? So even though I might feel stressed in a situation, it's like restraining and having stillness. Like I really come back to that gate, even though it's like not in throat center. I find that helps with just like waiting for the correct timing. So it takes practice, long story short. But those are some of the weird, like kind of shadow, sort of cringy things at time that I notice with having an open throat.
Yeah. It's very magical to listen to you having an open throat because you can communicate very well and very like open and elaborate. So that's really cool for me to have you on the podcast and be so open about all of the things for you in your design, but in your business and what you do with clients. Is there a message or something that you want to come out of your throat that people need to hear from you?
I think that people need to be more patient and have grace for themselves and trust that it's safe to slow down. I literally had a conversation yesterday, like a very in-depth conversation with two of my girlfriends who are business owners. And I was just coming forth with, my life's work of compassion. And I was like, there's so much pressure in society to do things quickly, because everything is so instantaneous. Like I made a joke and I was like, back in the day, I said, here we are sending voice messages and you're like across the continent. But back in the day, we used to send fucking postcards and you wouldn't hear from someone for like 2 weeks. But now it's like, it's everything needs to be done so quickly and things are praised when they're done faster, because then it's like, oh, good for you, you're more efficient. And I think this also plays into the whole narrative around business maybe taking longer to be sustainable for someone, whatever that looks like for them. And so I'm really coming back to this. It really feels like a six line approach of like, I'm on the roof. We're just going to chill here. Like, it's what would it actually feel like to just be patient and to really prioritize what's going to nurture you in the long run? And I think that this is like me sharing this can be a really big permission slip for people to just kind of breathe and feel like that weight come off their shoulders. Even if they're consuming podcast episodes like this one and they're listening and they're learning and they're doing all the things, it's like you are allowed to slow down. And that's something that I'm also working on. I'm not even going to say that I have that figured out, because I don't, but it's a narrative that I'm working on right now for myself.
Yeah, and I basically needed to hear that message. Thank you for sharing that specifically. Yeah.
So good. Open throat wisdom knows what to
Exactly.
say.
Exactly on the right time. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for like all your wisdom and your sharings and your openness.
We've reached the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Did you hear something that inspired you or got you thinking? Let me know by a shout out on Instagram and tag me at stephanie.smolders. If you're interested in one of my courses or coaching programs, make sure to check out the show notes. There's always something going on for you. Stay tuned for future episodes where we'll explore together how you can build a business that has impact and creates more freedom. Have a magical day, unicorn.